and welcome to Revolutionary Woman. My name is Tess Silverman. Women around the world are constantly creating ways to make a difference in their communities, and today's guest is no exception. Janet Collard is a dance performing artist, choreographer, and movement director originally from the San Francisco Bay Area. As a professional contemporary dancer, Janet has performed for many companies and choreographers, including Axis Dance Company, Nancy Carpen Dancers, Gerald Castle Dance, and Katie Faulkner's Little Seismic Dance Company. As a choreographer, she has worked with Corsa Musical Theater Company, Shotgun Players, Berkeley Playhouse, Shoal Anderson Dance Center, Throckmorton Theater, and others. In 2018, she premiered her dance theater solo show, Performing Valeska, based on the life of avant-garde actor and dancer Valeska Gert. In 2019, she toured this production to different festivals across the country and was artist-in-residence at the University of Rochester in New York. She recently completed an MA in Dance Philosophy and History at Roehampton University in London. While in the UK, she presented her dissertation and performed a lecture on dance reconstruction and dance reenactment at the Theatre, Dance, and Performance Conference at the University of Leeds. She also participated in a living history performance at the Old Operating Theatre in London. She currently lives in Northern California and continues to create choreography and teach movement for artists, as well as Pilates and gyrotonic. Hi, Janet. Welcome to Revolutionary Women. How are you this afternoon? Actually, morning for you, right?
Yes, it is the morning. I'm good. Yes, thank you so much for having me.
Oh, thank you for saying yes. Okay, so let's get started. So you grew up in the San Francisco Bay Area. What was it like for you growing up in the Bay Area?
The Bay Area was an amazing place to grow up in. I grew up in the East Bay, which is kind of a large area, so specifically Contra Costa County. Mm-hmm. So very kind of suburban, lots of residences, very kind of nice, safe feeling community. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was really a lovely place to grow up because it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of beautiful nature, amazing trees, and we had, you know, our big mountain there is Mount Diablo. So that was always kind of the centerpiece of the area. Uh-huh. And so I grew up around a lot of nature and a lot of people my age and with a lot of things to do. Mm. So it was pretty idealistic in that way.
Okay. Do you think living by nature, did that help you figure out, or at least, I guess, inspire you to do what you're doing now, or is it something different?
That's a great question. I think, there was all of that I just described, all the nature and the beauty and things, but there was also a really nice little hotbed of culture and art. Mm-hmm. That is still going on today. It's really been quite strong for several decades, I would say. Mm-hmm. And so I was surrounded by that also, and gravitated to it very, very early as a kid, with ballet and dance, and then just kept going. Oh, and wow. There was a lot of it to invest myself in as I got older. So there was quite a lot of that as well.
Awesome. So I read that your parents divorced when you were young. How did that affect you, and what got you through those times?
Yes. It was very difficult. It was very destabilizing as a 9-year-old to have your family, you know, completely disrupted. Mm-hmm. A small family unit of four, so mm-hmm. me and my sister and our parents. But and I was so young that, you know, there was a lot that I wasn't aware of. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it just sort of happened to me. And, you know, I didn't, you know, it was just sort of, oh, okay, this is what's happening now, you know, because when you're a young kid, you don't really have control over the situation, and you just kind of accept things as they come. So it was, you know, up until the actual like moving date, you know, the move out and the split, the physical splitting of our family, it really felt like I had a pretty strong family unit, according to me as a, you know, very young child. So it was very destabilizing and just a huge seismic shift for me. That, you know, I just took it in stride because what else are you going to do as a kid? And, and you just, you know, you're going to school, you're doing your thing, you just keep doing what you're supposed to do. And ride the waves. So yeah, it was very challenging for many years, really emotionally fraught and difficult, and till it sort of, you know, settled down. You know, my parents sort of were able to kind of settle down emotionally, and we all kind of just moved on with this new situation, you know?
So you mentioned before, I mean, you are a dancer, you're a choreographer and an artist. And I found out about your work through another podcast, What's Her Name Podcast. And in that episode, it focused on the life of Valeska Gert. So for those who may not know about her, can you tell me a little bit about her and why you were interested in her work?
Absolutely. So yes, the What's Her Name podcast just is such an honor to be on their podcast, because I was a huge fan and I'm a big dance history person, just history person in general. So that's one way I got into Valeska Gert, was my interest in history and performing arts history, and dance history. And I learned about her in graduate school at Mills College in Oakland. I was doing an MFA in dance performance and choreography. And I learned of her through a course I was taking, and was introduced to her through a teacher and a book that we were assigned to read. And she was, a picture of her was on the cover of that book. That was so striking. This image just was so interesting and provocative to me. It was a black and white, you know, that kind of cool, like sepia toned quality photo of like the early 20th century time, or maybe, first quarter of the 20th century. And so that was the first thing that I saw, was this image of her. And then of course in the book there was a couple of sections about her, and I was fascinated by her in general, but also equally, if not more, fascinated and just sort of incredulous, I guess, at a certain point, at why I didn't know about her and nobody seemed to know about her. And she seemed to be such an important fixture of modern dance, which is what I was studying, you know, dance and performance, and very avant-garde and very new and very pioneering in that field of sort of dance. She crossed genres of dance, theater, and film quite a bit, and I would even call her, you know, performance art. At times. So that really spurred me on to research her more and find out more about her.
So what surprised you about her life, or her, even her work?
Oh, so much. I feel like she's one of those figures in history who kind of keeps surprising you. The more you dive into her story, the more sort of, oh, you know, kind of moments you have. She was very, as I said, you know, very avant-garde. It's just, mm-hmm. it's just who she was naturally. She didn't even try to be that. She just was that.
Right.
At a very early age, she was very sort of rebellious and defiant and didn't want to participate in school or academics. Mm-hmm. She thought it was a bore and like not worth her time. Uh-huh. You know, which I kind of related to mm-hmm. myself, because I was just like, I just want to perform. I just want to do arts things.
Right, right.
And so I related to that. And it was just seemed like it was just bursting out of her,
wow.
you know, from a very early age, this desire to perform. But she also had a desire to sort of shock.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And provoke. That was really interesting to me, that aspect of her, which, you know, goes along with her rebellious nature and her attitude, and defiance towards authority. And her work matched that quality, you know?
Yeah.
So I was really struck by her work in general,
uh-huh.
which when I say her work, I mean her dances.
Mm-hmm.
She did these mostly solos. I don't think she ever danced with anybody. That would uh-huh. be an interesting track to
yeah.
research. But right. she mostly did solos on herself,
mm-hmm.
Where she was a great mimic. And she would mimic things that she would see in society and sort of reflect them like a mirror back
wow.
to the audience. Huh. And I didn't mention yet, but she was from Berlin
mm-hmm.
and she grew up in Berlin in the 1920s.
Oh, wow.
And was performing in that era, so that Weimar era.
Right. Huh.
Yeah.
That's so. Really interesting. Yeah, I mean, it's funny because I looked up I saw a segment, a YouTube segment of yours titled Performing Valeska, where you were performing some of Valeska Gert's dances.
Yes.
What was it about her dances that moved you?
The physicality
mm-hmm.
of them
mm-hmm.
And the content, I think, really interested me.
Uh-huh.
And I say this, but actually there's hardly any footage of her dances.
Wow.
So I, you know, when I was first starting off to create a piece about her,
mm-hmm.
I was just working from images, from pictures.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, which sounds really difficult, but when you Google her and you see all these images pop up,
mm-hmm.
there is just a ton of personality
yeah.
and almost like movement bursting off of the images taken of her that I, as a kinesthetically minded person, as a dancer,
mm-hmm.
you know, could really take a collection of images and start to kind of form a, you know, physicalized interpretation.
Yeah.
Of that.
That's right. Yeah. I thought that was really interesting, actually, because in that segment, to me, it felt like the dances signified freedom from constraints, or even exposing the rawness of life during her time. Is that something that she was trying to portray? I mean, not that we would know, but that's what I interpreted while I was watching, you know, your interpretation of her. And again, like finding out that she grew up in the Weimar Republic, you know, it's like,
yeah.
oh, during that time, you know, it's like, wow,
yeah.
to even be courageous enough to do something like that, right? And not worry, or at least we don't know whether she was even afraid to do that, or she didn't care, or I guess we'll never know, right? But to me, it felt like she was trying, like you said, bursting out of the images, you know, trying to portray herself as, this is who I am, take it or leave it, right?
Yes, absolutely.
And I thought that was really beautiful. And I watched your segment, and I was just like for someone who never knew about Valeska Gert, I was like really intrigued, because I'm like, here's this woman that I'm like, I didn't know anything about her. And I was very much into the new wave film, you know, during that time. I was really interested in that. So to hear about someone, I'm like, where'd she come from? You know, it's like,
yes.
But I thought it was, your interpretation was really beautiful, because it showed, you know, whether I didn't really know any of her work, but it seemed like you really tried to interpret what she was trying to say, you know, in the images that you've seen, or even like, you know, any of the dances that you've seen her in. So
yes,
was that hard for you to like interpret the way she would want to be interpreted?
So there were, so when I sort of started out, this process kind of took like a decade.
Oh, wow.
Here and there, you know, I was working on it here and there. I sort of started soon after my graduate program ended. That was 2007, and I put together a series of movements, as I call it now, like a sort of a brain dump of ideas of what I kind of thought was her physicality, and I just kind of choreographed this very dance theater solo on myself, that I added sound to. I just edited together some different kinds of music and sounds, made sort of a soundscape that to me was sort of reminiscent of that era of time, and performed that at a local dance studio, a showing they were doing in Berkeley. In 2000 something, nine maybe. And then, you know, sort of time went on, and I, you know, I did a lot of dancing with various people, various companies in the Bay Area. So I was quite busy, you know, doing dancing for others and rehearsing and performing and all of that, and teaching and all of that. And then sort of would come back to my research on her every now and then, you know? And then finally in 2017, I really hunkered down and said, okay, I'm gonna work on a real researched piece and create, you know, like an evening length solo, evening length for dance is really no more than my 30 minutes, especially if you're a soloist, that's a long time. And so when I started that sort of research and development process, you know, you're in the studio by yourself and you're just kind of playing with ideas. And it started to form and become clear to me that, oh, what I'm actually interested in doing is recreating her dance solos, her like dance theater solos, so of which there are many, you know, and you start researching them, you see that there's just a plethora of them that would be titled things like Traffic or Circus or Boxer, you know, stuff like that. So So I chose three of the solos that most interested me.
Uh-huh.
And that I felt like I could really, you know, dive into research-wise and physically. And so that was her first documented solo, according to her. It's her first one that she performed, called Taunts and Orange, Dance and Orange, in which she was wearing a like a orange pantaloons kind of costume.
Yeah,
you've probably seen the pictures of me. Or,
I saw that. I thought that was so cool.
So there was that one, and then I did this solo called Traffic, which was based on like portraying a traffic scene in Berlin, like the bustling city of Berlin. And then I did her prostitute dance, which she called Canalia, which is like a derogatory term for a woman, like meaning like dog or you know, sort of like that. I kind of have different interpretations in different languages, but so those were the three that I quote unquote recreated, you know, not actually knowing what they actually looked like,
right?
because there's no footage,
right? Yeah,
but I call it creative reconstruction.
I think that's wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah, and so that's what that work became that I premiered in 2018. And when it became clear to me that that's what I was doing, I was absolutely terrified.
Oh, how come?
Because it meant that I was taking on a huge responsibility of claiming in a sense to be representing these dances that, you know, it is an impossible feat because nobody can.
There's no
video. There are a couple very short clips of some things, but other than that, there isn't anything.
Wow.
So that just felt like a huge responsibility to me, and almost like, how dare I do this? But what drove me to do that was to sort of put her back on the timeline of history and bring her current, you know, bring her up to date to current audiences,
right?
Kind of put her back in the zeitgeist, you know.
Yeah.
If I could, you know, and sort of put her back on the map, so to speak, because I felt she was an important part of not only dance history and performing arts history, but just like culture and society. She was really such a pioneer of this avant-garde kind of performance style, which many of her contemporaries got a lot more credit than she did, but she actually seemed to be much more original than they. For example, Bertolt Brecht, you know, they were contemporaries, they were colleagues.
Oh, wow.
She was in the first movie of the Three Penny Opera.
Oh, wow.
Which is a Bertolt Brecht musical, you know, and other dancers like Mary Wigman, who is also of that era, and, you know, Greta Garbo, and these people who were all kind of within her sphere, who we all know, or know that more people know their names than hers.
Right,
So that's what drove me to do the work.
Okay. Did you see similarities between you and Valeska when it came to the work?
I did. I did. One major one was just that she was really crossing genres. meaning she was a dancer.
Mm-hmm.
She danced, but she was very theatrical in her approach.
Mm-hmm.
She also did theater.
Mm-hmm.
She acted, and she also acted in films.
Huh.
I haven't done much in the way of film, mm-hmm. but I grew up doing dance as well as theater.
Right.
And singing and music. So I did a lot in that world, in musical theater also. And when I went to dance school and was studying, you know, the craft of choreography, mm-hmm. dance and performance and, you know, making dances, I really was crossing genres myself and, mm-hmm. you know, singing,
mm-hmm.
in my dances and speaking, you know, and being sort of very theatrical, in a way that was kind of different than, like the traditions of dance in modern dance anyway, where you really don't talk,
right.
you know,
right.
you don't yeah. sing, you don't talk. Not that nobody does, a lot of people do, and, mm. But sort of, you know, historically, traditionally speaking.
Right.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. Okay, so I also read that you lived in London for the last 3 years, doing an academic master's in dance philosophy and history, philosophy and history. What was the draw for philosophy and history? I mean, history I can understand because history of dance, but the philosophy side of it, what was that about?
Well, short answer is that was the degree that was offered.
Oh.